Howdy, you're listening to Behind the Stands with host Kelly Wendell, and today joining with me is special guest Tyler Krebs, who has been involved in the hunting industry his whole life. How are you doing today, Tyler?
I'm doing good, Kelly. Thank you for asking.
Can you start off with sharing a little bit about yourself, which your background in general and where you went to school and your education?
So I went to a small town, Sweeney High School, and then went to a sister school of A&M, Tarleton State in Stephenville. For a year doing wildlife management and biology, decided that wasn't the route for me, and came home to get my process technology degree, and been in the plant for about 7 years now. Grew up hunting and fishing, killed my first animal when I was 4, I shot my first deer at the age of 5, and just really been involved with the outdoors my whole life.
What made you start your passion in the outdoors? Like, who inspired you to be really close, like, in the outdoors and hunting in general?
Fishing and hunting would be my grandpa. I can, as far as I can remember, probably the age of 4 of being on a bass boat in the middle of Lake Sam Rayburn in East Texas with him. And then come November, missed the Friday of school every year on opening weekend from about 3rd grade till I graduated high school. And so being in the stand with him, it was good memories. It's something I miss, and something that people still get to do that they definitely need to cherish.
Oh, I completely agree. And then you said you came from Sonora, correct?
Yeah, so my family has a ranch in Sonora, 4,500 acres. Started out as low fence, had some really good deer, pigs, a few axes, and a bunch of turkeys. We got hit with anthrax in 2019.
Anthrax is a serious infectious disease caused by bacteria. It is found naturally in soil, and it often affects both domestic and wild animals worldwide. In the United States, anthrax is actually uncommon, but occasionally, grazing animals, both domestic and wild, like deer and cattle, have outbreaks.
And after aerial surveys, we determined that we lost over 300 deer. And after talking to our neighbors, you know, they lost cows and goats and a few horses. And it was just a really, really bad deal. After working with them and talking to some biologists, we decided the best interest in our ranch was to high fence it. And we brought in South Texas Genetics. We didn't want anything crazy, you know, Michigan, you know, Illinois, Iowa, bunch of mass. We didn't want any of that. We wanted to stay as typical and as true to the Texas genetics as possible.
Can you describe to me, like the biggest difference in the genetics here in Texas compared to, like, northern states?
Your northern deer have a lot more just natural nutrients, and plus the agriculture up there is insane. They're eating corn and soybean and wheat fields, and their deer up there are going to weigh 300 pounds for a mature trophy buck. Down here, our deer are obviously a lot smaller, but our deer here are a lot more symmetrical, in my opinion. They don't have as much mass. I mean, they still will if you feed them enough protein and have good genetics in their system, but just a different overall look on their rack, and something that we wanted, you know, down here on our ranch.
With like high fences and low fences, say you're feeding the same protein and feed or whatever, corn, say you're feeding it the same here at low fence and then the same at high fence, what is a difference you could see within the deer?
In my opinion, you know, there's always the big high fence, low fence debate.
Yeah, everybody says, like, quotations, hunting, like.
And I hunt both. I've hunted low fence until the last 4 years. And I still hunt low fence at my house. And in my opinion, the biggest thing is going to be the acreage. Because if you're feeding protein on 100 acres, you're not going to have as much success. And I shouldn't say control over the deer, but controlling what deer are going to eat what. And the deer are going to roam, obviously. But if I have a 5,000 acre low fence ranch, you're going to be able to keep those deer secluded on your property, and they're going to focus on your areas, your water sources, and your protein, instead of going to the neighbors and possibly getting shot at 3.5 years old. So they have a chance to get older and develop their rack and, you know, produce offspring, and that's what we're all for.
This next topic, Tyler and I talked about high fences. Even though some people say it's considered cheating, or you're not really hunting, you know, you're just kind of cheating, you know. Well, there actually are a lot of benefits with using high fences on your ranch. And Tyler is going to discuss how it impacts the Pura Vida Ranch in this next part.
On the high fence, yeah, you're controlling it. You're keeping them, you know, fenced in. But on our ranch, with it being high fenced, we have deer that we have trail cam pictures of all through the summertime. And you know how it goes. October 1st rolls around and they go ghost mode. You don't see them.
The high fences surrounding the property are meant to keep the deer inside and the predators out. High fence hunting refers to ranches with fences surrounding the borders of a property and is often known as whitetail hunting preserves.
We had a buck that, you know, double drop tying deer that was really, really pretty. And we flew the ranch for 4 hours when we were tagging and netting and darting them and never seen him. And still haven't seen him since then, except for on a trail camera. So, you know, being able to keep those deer and feed them and have the specific genetics you want, you're always going to have your outlier. And you're still going to have to cull and manage and do, you know, the right things to produce your herd. But it just, to me, it's, you have more control. And if you're looking for a certain type of deer, certain genetic, certain style of deer, it's a lot easier.
I could see where you're coming from with that. You said you shoot and dart deer out of the helicopter and stuff. Like, what? So what do y'all do with the deer? Like, after y'all dart them, do y'all breed? What do y'all do? Just tag them, or?
So we have 3 breeder pens, and yeah, when we're flying in the helicopter, we're netting does mainly. We try not to put too much stress, you know, on the bucks, but netting them, giving them shots for, you know, anthrax. And then putting them in a breeder pen, you should say. They'll get put in there for a certain amount of days that's regulated by the state of Texas with a breeder buck. And hopefully he does his job and produces, you know, the offspring that you want.
Right. And when you breed them with other does and stuff, can you really tell a big difference, like, between this deer? Like, oh, yeah, this deer's doing, like, really good. But then compared to this deer that didn't get bred.
For us, for what we can see so far, this is year 4. You can really see your difference at 2 years old. So now we're still in the process of, you know, making sure our herd's where we want it and the genetics are exactly what we want. But at 2 years old, you can see, hey, this deer's going to be something special. And, you know, we're not really culling them out as a management yet, but you are going to have your, you know, the whole debate of shoot spikes or not, which is always a fun one every year at our place. But I think you can definitely see the difference. And being able to see the physical characteristics that each deer passes on, you know, a big thing is their brow tines. And so that's what we really try to focus on and shed hunt. That's honestly my favorite time of the year. I'm looking forward to getting up there here next week to go walk around the protein feeders and hopefully find a bunch of sheds.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I like finding some sheds around here. My dad's place, where we're at right now recording, we're on my dad's property. It's about roughly 90 acres. And so it's so fun just to see, like, little antlers. And then, you know, like, Tyler, I know you said you shot a buck this year as 12 pointer. And then I think the year before he was 11 pointer. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but how did you feel about shooting that buck? Like, what were you going through when you shot that buck this year?
Being able to shoot a deer behind the house is always special. You know, they're my pets, but they're not my pets. And being able to do it with a bow was really, really exciting. Shout out Matthews. Yeah, it's, they're pets, and I love to watch them and see them in the back, but I'm also not just going to shoot the first deer I see. I want to make sure I'm shooting a mature deer that's done his job, has lived its life, and is something that I'm going to be, you know, proud of, to not necessarily just show on the wall, but feed my family. It's my way of life. It's what I like to do. It's just, it's fun being able to have a deer at 20 yards and him never know you're there.
Yeah, that's really fun. And plus, it's like more of a control thing. Like, you know, like, when they're old enough, like, that, you know, the life is coming for them, you know. More of a control, I guess, like, variable there. And so, I mean, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, being able to track them. You know, I run two stealth cams year-round and have them sent to my phone. So it's like Christmas morning when it goes off. But being able to watch a deer year from year, you know, year to year, you know, and see his development, whether he's hitting the protein or not hitting the protein, or if he has a bad year, you know, and being able to find, you know, markings. You know, we have a deer here that's got a split ear from fighting, I'm assuming, but being able to watch him go from a 4 to a 6 to an 8, you know, it's really just a testament of letting them, you know, grow and mature.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else you would like to share with others or just advice in general?
No, just enjoy the outdoors. Enjoy the outdoors with your family. Our time's limited with them, obviously. And respect the outdoors. And take a kid hunting. That's the biggest thing. I get more excitement now of being able to sit in the stand with somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to shoot a lot of deer or pigs or whatever it may be, and see the excitement on their face and see them, you know, get the old buck fever and, them start breathing real hard and shaking, and that emotion, that's just raw emotion. And, but take a kid hunting. It starts with the kids. You got to get them outdoors and, introduce them to the outdoor life and show them that, hey, you know, it's nature is nature, but doing it the humane way and efficient, and shooting an animal is not the end of the world, but we want to make sure we do it and, you know, humane and dispatch that animal as soon as possible.
I completely agree. Well, I really appreciate your time with me, Tyler. It really means a lot.
Thanks and gig 'em.